Meditating on the theme of Does My Testimony Matter? Sorry, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, not 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Does My Testimony Matter? And let us read from verse 1 to verse 12 responsively, although we'll only be focusing on the first 6 verses. But verse 1 to verse 12 responsively. I'll begin. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain.
For here after that we had suffered before, and were shamefully treated, as ye know that you are, and you will go in our thought to speak unto you the gospel of God with much admonition.
For our exhortation was not in deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile.
As we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which triumph on us.
For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness.
Nor of men sought to be glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, that we might have delivered a son, as it was.
But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children.
So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you, not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us.
For ye remember, brethren, our labour and travail, for labouring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preach unto you the gospel of God.
We are witnesses, and also how holy you have sustained and unwavering in the way ourselves among you every day.
Together, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Amen. And we thank the Lord for the reading of His Holy Word. Now, if you just do a search on the internet on the various methods of evangelism, you can find a long list, different suggestions on how you can bring the gospel to the world. Some methods are of course plain and clearly wrong, very deceitful methods. But then there are also good methods with various different kinds, suggestions that are given. For example, there's evangelism through the radio. You have a radio ministry, like the Bible Witness web radio. That is a method of evangelism. Then you have friends evangelizing to friends. This is what we call personal evangelism. Then you also, of course, have tracting ministry. In some countries, they will allow television, evangelism through television. So we have people called the televangelist, right? Evangelists who would preach the gospel on the television. Some of these are good methods, but then there are of course some very strange methods that you can find as well. There's one method which is what they call telephone evangelism, where they say you go through the phone directory and then you just look at all the names there and then you pick up the phone and start calling everyone there and ask them to come to believe in the gospel. Things like that. So there are many, many various suggestions. And of course, some are right and some are wrong. And this is where in chapter 2, Apostle Paul tells us his method of evangelism. And this concerns our topic today, because when we talk about testimony, we are talking about evangelism on a personal level. In fact, of all the various methods of evangelism, including tracting, you realize that personal evangelism is one of the most important and most effective. How did you come to know about the Lord Jesus Christ? I know of friends who came to a church or came to Christ. Perhaps the Lord used the website ministry, or the Lord used a person whom he met in street evangelism. But very rarely, you'll find that seldom it is through street evangelism or tracting. Now, it does not mean that it's not important. It is still important, because there are people who are led to Christ through these ministries. But you realize more often than not, it is through personal evangelism. Perhaps your parents, perhaps a friend, your classmate, your colleague at work, they were the ones who first told you of the gospel. But then again, what was it that impressed you regarding the gospel? Why did you listen to them? What was it that when your colleague shared with you the gospel the first time, why did you say that you were interested to listen to this person? Of course, the message itself is very, very important. But you will realize oftentimes there is something in that person's life that is different. Before you came to know of the Lord Jesus Christ, you saw something different in the person, in his attitude, in his philosophy of life, in the way he deals with stress. Everything is just different about him. You know, there was a time where even unbelievers can recognize that Christians seem to live on a different standard. They live with a higher standard of morality. So they live with principle. They are people of convictions. Of course, today it seems to change. It has changed. No, where Christians live like the world. But there was a time where, when you are a Christian, people could tell. And if just by the way you behave, they can tell that there's something different about you, you most likely will be a Christian. And this is why the testimony is so important. Now, in the text before us, this portion that we have read from verse 1 to verse 12 is actually divided into two. From verse 1 to verse 6, Apostle Paul talks about the negative things that we did not do. From verse 7 to verse 12, he will talk about the positive things that we did. But this whole chapter or this whole section concerns the testimony. And this is why testimony is so important. Does my testimony matter? Definitely it does. Apostle Paul will explain, in your preaching ministry, in your going out to give the gospel, what you share and what you say must be backed up by the life that you live. You know, I remember when I was studying in the Bible college, I can't remember which lecturer, but for preachers, they told us, you know, they say that it's easier to preach 10 sermons than to live one. That's for preachers. Isn't it true? Oftentimes, it's easy to preach 10 sermons than to live out even just one sermon. But this person continues to say, but in order to preach one sermon with power, you must have lived out 10. You get the point? If you want to preach the word of God with conviction, for the word to be preached with the heart, you must have lived out the word. You must have applied it. It must be something that you believe in. If not, your words will be empty. And this is Apostle Paul's exhortation here as well. In his preaching, in his teaching ministry, in the bringing of the gospel, you know who I am. That's what Apostle Paul says. You know who I am. You know how I was when I was with you. So this is now what he told the people in Thessalonica. Okay, this city of Thessalonica. Look at this. In verses 1 and 2, first he says, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after we had suffered before, we were shamefully entreated, as ye know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Okay, so he says, you know, right? You can see that in verse 1, you know our entrance. And in verse 2 also, ye know at Philippi, right? So you know how we were when we were with you. And this word to know here has the idea of to see. Actually, the word comes from the root word meaning to see. Meaning you have observed my life. You have seen the way I walk. You have seen the way I talk. You have seen my conviction. You have seen my belief. You know. And this is the challenge. See, because when we go tracking, we are going to see the person only for a moment. Personal evangelism is very hard because when we now share the gospel with friends, these are friends who know us. They know our temper. They know our weaknesses. They know our failings. But are we able to say that if they know us, what they would see would be the zeal, the boldness, the passion? Because that's the first thing. So in verses 1 and 2, he first says, you know, and what did they know? They knew the zeal and the boldness which the apostles had in the evangelism, in their evangelistic ministry. You know my boldness. You know my courage. You know my entrance in unto you. Now this is an interesting thought. The apostles did not merely bring the gospel to the door. They brought the gospels into the lives of the people with their zeal, with their passion, with their fervency. You know, there are some people, and I do know of people like that, where their zeal can just rub off on you. Their excitement somehow can just rub off on you. Now when it comes to secular things, you find that very common. Okay? Where the zeal, where the interest in a particular thing can just rub off on another person. When a lady is now very interested in this new instrument that can be used for cooking, then she would share and she would keep talking about this new technology or this new thing, like the Philips air fryer. Right? I don't know whether you know the Philips air fryer. And then after that, you would share, you keep talking, you know it can fry fish, you know it can fry chicken, you can even cook eggs in it. You can cook sunny side up, you can cook hard-boiled egg, you can do so many things with the Philips air fryer, and you don't need to use oil, so it's very healthy. Right? So then you will share, you talk, and then even though you don't have it, suddenly, initially, you don't feel like cooking, you're not a cooking person, but suddenly you also feel the urge. Yeah, maybe I should take up cooking just to use the Philips air fryer, things like that. You see, there are some people where their zeal can just rub off on you. But why? It's because they're so interested, so passionate about these things. And this is what Apostle Paul says. This is my boldness, that I would even be willing to be shamefully entreated. That if people laugh at me, people mock at me, I would still be bold in this. Now the boldness is seen in Acts chapter 17. When you look at Acts chapter 17, just turn to that for very quickly for a moment. Okay, in Acts chapter 17, because this is the account when they went to Thessalonica. And you see in verse 1, it says, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where it was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed, and concerted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. See, this is the passion and the zeal of the Apostle Paul, that despite the rejection and the persecution, he was still bold in the gospel. Now today is very strange, because many people, we are often stubborn and bold for the things that we ought not to be. We are very bold in the defense of our own name. We are very bold and courageous when it comes to defending football players. Right? Which is the best football player, Lionel Messi or Cristiano Ronaldo? Then people would argue and fight, must be Cristiano Ronaldo, because he's the first player to score 30 goals every season for 6 consecutive seasons. Do you know that? I don't know why I know this fact also, but I can't remember when I read this article, but...
Facebook.
Huh? No, it's not Facebook. I don't think it's Facebook. But anyway, that's Cristiano Ronaldo. But Lionel Messi. So people would fight, and do you know there are people, sometimes you go and see the comments, right, on articles, they would fight, they would argue just to defend Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. Why would people be so bold for these things? And then Apostle Paul says, we were bold for the Lord Jesus Christ. Can people see your boldness? See, this boldness is not from the character. This boldness, the courage, the strength that you have, is something deeper. It's not just merely a personality. Because there can be somebody who is very bold in many things, apparently courageous, but yet when it comes to defending the name of Christ, can be a coward. Apostle Peter was such. Right? He was a fisherman. He was very rash. But then when he came to the Lord Jesus Christ, before a damsel, a young girl, he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, later on we saw how the Lord renewed his boldness, right, in the gospel, in the book of Acts.
He became bold for the Lord Jesus Christ again. So the courage is not a character or personality thing. It's something that you're so convicted of. And that's the question. Can people see your conviction? Can people see your boldness in Christ? That you will be willing to suffer even rejection, persecution, mocking, because you hold on to Christ so dearly. That's the first thing. The testimony involves your zeal, your boldness for Christ. And then your testimony also involves your method. So from verse 3 to verse 5 now, he says, my testimony, you see my method, and you see my responsibility. So he says, our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Neither at any times use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. So the testimony now involves your method. How you bring the gospel to the world. See, there is a very ungodly mindset today where some people think that we have to make Christ more beautiful than who he already is. We have to repackage the gospel because the mindset is the gospel does not seem very attractive. No, if we just present the gospel, people will not like the gospel. People will reject the gospel. So they have this mindset that we need to repackage the gospel. We need to beautify Christ, to make Christ more attractive so that people will come to Christ. And there are many churches that are in the business of doing that, repackaging the gospel. So you omit the part about sin. You omit the part about hell. You don't talk about repentance. First, you bring the gospel. Let it be a gospel of love. True, the gospel is a gospel of love. But it must not miss the point that it's also a gospel about repentance, forsaking of sin, turning to Christ. It's also a gospel that requires sacrifice. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. But people like to repackage the gospel. So this is why there are many churches today that have, they use the term ministry in their attempt to try to draw the world in. Whenever you hear leaders of the church or even the church as a whole saying things, we need to attract more people in first, and then after that, we give them the gospel. That is the new evangelical mindset. And that is not this thing which the Apostle Paul says. Our method was not through deceit, uncleanness, or in guile. The word guile there has the idea of craftiness. Okay? You use craft to try to trap the people and bring them into the gospel. I do not know whether you have encountered some of these kinds of methods which the world has used, or rather other churches have used. Some they would hold fun fairs. Okay? Some they would hold barbecue. So the youth fellowship, they would organize a barbecue session. Then they say, use this opportunity, invite your friends for the barbecue. Then your friends come for the barbecue. They came for the barbecue thinking that you just come for the food. Then after that, you give them the gospel. See, this is the cloak of covetousness. This is a cloak of deceit. Now, if you want to have a barbecue and then you say, come, we have a gospel meeting. Right? We are going to preach the gospel. After that, we have a barbecue. That's different. You're honest. You're open with your intention so that the person, when he comes, he knows he's coming for the gospel meeting and the barbecue. You don't give him the impression that he's only coming for the barbecue and then after that, there's also a gospel message. When I was very, very young, I can't remember when or who brought me, but when I was very young, I remember this one experience where somebody brought me to this ice skating thing, where some international ice skating people came to just do some ice skating. I don't even know who organized it because I was very, very young. But what I remember was there was this ice skating thing, and then after the show, there was somebody there that started to share the gospel. What has the ice skating got to do with the gospel? And there's nothing mentioned about the gospel at all. So it was just like an attraction. And there's this apostle in Singapore that has been doing that. Okay? Lawrence Kong. He has a magic show that you can see on the MRT, the advertisements on the MRT. I had a friend who was from FCBC. I think he's still there now. And then I asked him, what is the magic show all about? So he says that Lawrence Kong, he just is very interested in performing magic. It's his like hobby also. But he uses it to preach the gospel. So I said, how is magic got to do with the gospel? So he will have like 1 hour or 2 hours of magic show. And then at the end of it, he will say, all these things are all illusion. Only the Lord Jesus Christ is the truth. That is how he brings the gospel in. But there's a cloak of deceit, right? Which the Apostle Paul here says. You see, Apostle Paul says our method is very simple. We were entrusted with the gospel. That is the word here. To be put in trust in verse 4 means we were entrusted with the gospel. So we speak not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. Our method is very simple. Just to give the gospel as it is, faithfully, completely. Don't remove any part. Don't take out the part concerning sin, hell. Does the blood offend some? That when you talk about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, does it offend some people? You don't take that out because that is the gospel. You must see the responsibility that you have been entrusted with. Now, if Christians, we realize that what we have been entrusted with is the gospel, just like how a king has given this decree to his messengers to go out and declare, what the messenger must do is to declare the message as it is. We don't have to worry about the outcome or the result because that is not our place. Our responsibility is just to declare the message as it is. That is the method. And that is the testimony that we must have. Know that people, when they see you, they do not see manipulation. They do not see cunningness. They see you open with your intentions. If by being open, it will cause some to immediately reject it, when you knock on the door, you say, I'm here as a Christian to tell you the gospel. It causes some to immediately reject it because they say, I don't want to listen to this. So be it. But you must be open and honest. Now, this does not mean that there's only one way of sharing the gospel. No, there are various ways. You can share using the wordless book. You can share using the Romans road. You can begin with sin. You can talk about the need of man, about sin. You can talk about Christmas. When during Christmas time, you can talk about the significance of Christmas. You can use various ways. But all of it must have the gospel. That is our method. And then Apostle Paul finally says, you know also my purpose and my motive. And that is in verse 6. His testimony, you know, what is my purpose? What is my motive? He says, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. See, how will Christians appear holy? How to appear spiritual? Interestingly, this morning Reverend Quack also talked about it. Some think that it's by the number of souls they have saved. Now, I do not know why, but when I was serving in Africa, this was something that we had to deal with and correct in the mentality of many of the students in the Bible College. Because after the semester, then we have a short term break. And sometimes after the term break, when they come back, we would have like a testimony time. And during a testimony time, one thing that they will always share is the number of people they led to Christ. Now, it's not wrong to share if the Lord used you to bring the gospel and this person is saved as a result of that. Then you give thanks to God. You're happy, that's fine. But if you share because you want people to be impressed that you have led this person to Christ, and so they say, you know, during this term break, I was able to go to this place for mission and we had a crusade, and then 500 people came to Christ as a result of that. If you do that because you want people to be impressed by the number of people you have brought to Christ, what is this? We have sought glory. But this is what Apostle Paul says. My motive, my purpose is not to seek glory for myself. So, the testimony is important. What is the purpose? What is the motive of you going out, tracting, evangelizing. It's not for your glory. When souls are won, glory goes to Christ. It's not to say, now I'm more spiritual, I'm more holy. Do you know how many people came to know of the Lord Jesus Christ as a result of me? If somebody says that, it really reflects his pride and arrogance, not his spiritual maturity. The purpose, the motive. And also, Apostle Paul goes on to say, now this is especially applicable for preachers in those days. Neither of you, right, we do not seek glory from you or of others when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. Now the idea of burdensome here has the idea of where he has to be dependent on them, where he burdens them. Now remember, in those days they were suffering persecution, and because of that they are often to run for their lives. They don't have a permanent place to stay in. How are they going to have provisions for food, for clothing? So it would be very natural to depend on God's people, right, to provide these things for them. And rightly so, the church should support the apostles of Christ, which they did. But Apostle Paul was very careful not to take advantage of them, where they became burdensome, where they start expecting, you must provide for me, you must take care of me, you must allow this lodging for me. I believe the people will be very ready to receive them, but never take advantage of them. And this also is a very interesting thing in Africa. When we go for evangelism or even to visit our graduates, okay, sometimes with the local pastors, and this was a habit that we had to correct, because sometimes the travel would take very long, okay, when we may travel for 8 hours to visit our graduates. So it's not like half an hour travel, so it goes very long. But the local pastors and the students, sometimes they have this strange expectation that when they go and visit them, they must give them something in return. Sometimes a chicken or two. So some will even be so thick skinned and say, where is my chicken? Okay, you know, if you know, in Africa, chicken is very expensive. Okay, so chicken is like a delicacy that they eat only like on special occasions, during weddings or during anniversaries. Then they eat chicken. And the dessert is the best part. It's given to the head of the home or the honored guest, then they get the dessert. I know many people, they don't like dessert, but the dessert is the best part. So when they go for evangelism or visitation of, you know, church members very far away, they say, where's my chicken? But why? Why do you expect that? I know you travel very far, but if they give and they give willingly, fine. But somehow the culture has created this kind of expectation. That's what we need to be careful of as well. And that's a testimony that the Apostle Paul says, we guarded. We were not burdensome to you as the apostles of Christ. Now, in Singapore, when we go door to door, okay, this is not so much a problem because normally they don't invite you in. Okay? But in Africa, they will invite you in. And sometimes they'll offer you tea. And African culture is, if they're having lunch and you go during lunchtime, they would prepare lunch for you also. Okay, so that's one good thing. Okay, and even if, let's say, they're eating and they did not cook for you, what they will do is they will purposely go and cook for you so that you can join them for lunch. Okay, that's how hospitable they are. Now this, if you go door-to-door evangelism over there, don't be burdensome. In Singapore, don't worry, most people will not invite you into their homes. Okay, but yet, the testimony is important here. See why? You must not give people the impression that you want to give them the gospel for something in return. See, don't leave people with that mindset in your testimony, in the way you bring your gospel. This is the purpose, this is the motive. Now, there are of course many, many ways that these truths can be applied. But in all, Apostle Paul says, look at my testimony. Of course, from verse 7 to verse 12, he would speak of it in the positive way. Okay, but that would be another consideration. So does my testimony matter? Definitely. Because if you use all these methods, what would it do? Right, if you bring the gospel with shame, if you bring the gospel in deceit and guile, if you bring the gospel for gain, what will it do to the gospel? It would ruin and destroy your testimony for Christ. Christ and his gospel alone is so wonderful is so glorious already. Don't tarnish the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your testimony matters in your workplace, at your home, with your friends. Your testimony matters. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for how Thou hast called us and saved us by Thy grace. And You have also given us the privilege to be bearers of the gospel of Thy wonderful news. As we go forth to bring the gospel this afternoon, we pray that Thou will bless the teams. May You bless their fervency, their commitment and their zeal. And may You, by Thy grace, even bring forth much fruit through the preaching of Thy word. And we pray also that Thou will use our lives as testimonies for Thee, that will not hinder the ministry of the gospel. May Thy blessings be upon Thy people. Hear this our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Grace.